Morning. Today's reading is from Acts 11, starting at verse 1 and carrying on to verse 18. It's found on page 1105 in the Bibles. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord, nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he'd seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them, as he had come on us at the beginning. And then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even the Gentiles have been granted repentance that leads to life." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Morning. It's nearly afternoon. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, somehow I pray that your Holy Spirit will take these words that I have in front of me and will make them the words that your people need to hear, the words that you have for them, the words that will help each one of us in the days that lie ahead. And may we listen to what your Holy Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Linda. I was hoping to show you a clip this morning, but unfortunately technology has not allowed it. So all you've got is a snap of a Nigerian young man who, as that photograph was taken, had just jumped over the bar, which you can just see in the background behind him. And there doesn't seem to be anything particularly strange about seeing someone who's done the high jump and is proud of the fact that they've actually managed it and not knocked the bar off. Until you know that this young man was born with one leg. He has a second leg, but it's very, very short. And he discovered in his early life that they were doing some training for the high jump at his school, so he decided he'd join in. And they looked at him in a very strange way and wondered how he thought he was going to get anywhere. He's now got to the stage where he is planning on working hard in order to be able to go to the Paralympics and is wanting to get the world record in the Paralympics for people like him in the high jump. I'm going to say a little bit more about him later on when I would have shown the clip had it been possible. Thank you, Linda. First, I know Richard said when he was talking at the beginning that we've been looking at in relation to what Jesus Christ is able to do because he was raised from the dead, that we've been using this word transforming. We've looked at transforming mission, we've looked at transforming creation, we've looked at transforming identity. But in actual fact, the title that we've got to go with the reading this week doesn't use the word transforming, it uses the word transcending. And we're looking at transcending boundaries. Transforming means that there's going to be some change. And very often, the idea behind that change is that it's going to be something better than existed before. And transcending suggests that we go a little bit beyond what is expected in limits or in boundaries. So we perhaps need to look a little bit, just for a moment, on boundaries. And my first thought with that was linked with cricket. And in a cricket match, you have the boundary which tells you about the area in which the game is played. But I'm sure you all know that it also has an extra meaning, because if you manage to hit the ball a little bit further than the boundary, you score some runs. And if you manage to do it without the ball bouncing on the way, you score even more runs. But we're not here to learn about the rules of cricket. But boundary can also mean the edge of the extent of authority. The boundary which exists, for example, between Mole Valley and Epsom and Ewell. Very short distance from the school where we were involved in Thailand, there was a river. And this river was the border between Burma and Thailand. Responsibility for what happened on each side of that boundary was held by a different group of people and was governed by different rules. What you could do on one side of the boundary, you could not do on the other. What was safe on one side of the boundary was not safe on the other side. So what does all that mean in relation to this passage for which we've just heard that Andy has read for us? Thank you very much, Andy. This story is a very important story in the development of the early church, a church which was trying to find its way after the resurrection of Jesus, which had affected them greatly. The repetition of things three times was very important for Peter, and it was important for Luke, the writer of the Acts of the Apostles. Peter, as you will remember, denied Jesus three times, and then later he was asked three times by Jesus, "Do you love me?" The sheet in his vision that Andy read about descended three times. There are only two stories in the Acts of the Apostles which are told by Luke three times. One is the story of the conversion of Paul, which I think most people will recognize was quite an important event. And the other was the conversion of a person in Caesarea that Peter went to visit, the conversion of Cornelius. And that is told three times in the Acts of the Apostles. And that fact suggests that all these things are important in the life of the early church. And I shall be referring back to chapter 10 as well as the passage that we've just heard as we look at this passage. And if we do that, what a contrast there is between the end of the previous chapter, where Cornelius and his friends had just received the Holy Spirit and had been baptized. I suspect that was with celebration. And as our passage began, it was almost as though someone had poured a bucket of ice-cold water around everything. There was no celebration that the fact that these people had given their lives to Jesus and had been baptized. So what's the boundary here? Peter had gone into the house of unbelievers. What was worse, they were Gentile unbelievers. And what was worse, he'd eaten with them. And that all went against what they had been taught as they were growing up, as they had been trained as Jews. They may well have been given food forbidden by Jewish laws. and fraternizing with Gentiles was not exactly encouraged for people at that time. Now, the people in the church in Jerusalem, of course, hadn't been there when Peter received his vision from God, which is told in chapter 10 and then is repeated in chapter 11. And so Peter tells them about it. Three times, as I've already said, Peter sees a sheet lowered down from heaven. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds, and a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." And so he's shown that three times. Now, Peter wouldn't want to be found eating things which the Old Testament said were unclean. And even worse, he was accepting hospitality in the house of a Gentile, or as they claimed, he actually ate with uncircumcised men. Peter's response to their criticism is a model of Christian grace and humility. He simply tells the story as it happened. This is Peter, I remind you, the one who acted on impulse and wasn't always quiet in the way he said things. But he didn't shout. He didn't suggest that they grow up and start taking notice of what was going on around them. He didn't get defensive. He didn't argue with them. He didn't even say, "What about the example of Jesus?" and taking them back to the time when they all ate with Zacchaeus and were criticized for eating with a sinner. He just went through the story, step by step. And during it, he emphasizes the role of the Holy Spirit in urging Peter to go with the men who came to the house where he was staying and to follow them. And then suddenly, the Holy Spirit made his presence very definitely felt as Peter was starting to speak. And notice that it was not after he had finished speaking. I suspect he was planning to say quite a lot. It wasn't that he'd been trying to persuade them into belief. It was as he was starting to speak. And he then found that God was working in the place where they were. And so no credit could be taken by Peter. The credit goes to God and through the Holy Spirit. And the result astonished those who were with Peter at that time. In chapter 10 it says, the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. And Peter recognized that it was the same as the disciples had experienced at the first Pentecost and has been referred to as the Gentile Pentecost. Peter was reminded of the words of Jesus, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Words that are in the first chapter of Acts of the Apostles. Peter had taken people from Caesarea with him, presumably also Jews from their reaction. And they'd gone to Cornelius' house and they also went with him to Jerusalem. So he had witnesses with him of what had happened. And at this, the church in Jerusalem recognized that Peter was right in what he did, and that even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. A big step forward for the early church. They had limited God and said he was only interested in Jews. But God had different ideas, and they were willing to go with God. Limits, boundaries can change. Maybe not in the middle of a cricket match, but they can. The thing is that the Jerusalem church was becoming bound in traditions that they had learnt as they were growing up as devout Jews. And perhaps, is it unfair to say that the church today is getting bound in its own traditions, whether they are formal or informal? Because yes, there are traditions within informal services, as there are informal services. Are we keen for those traditions to continue? But in so doing, are we limiting God in some way. I've already mentioned Peter's way of dealing with the criticism that was made of him. A man called David Smith, in the series Encounter with God, when it was talking about this particular passage, says this: if the guardians of orthodoxy are in danger of falling into a sterile legalism, pioneers and innovators may sometimes behave with a reckless lack of concern to maintain fellowship with ascending churches. Peter, by contrast, tells his critics the whole story. He is honest concerning his reluctance to break with inherited patterns of behavior, and then climaxes his defense with the claim that to have acted in any other way would have been to stand in God's way. There's no wonder the Jerusalem church were convinced. It's significant that the next verses, immediately after the ones that Andy read, say this: now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks as well, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. And the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. The passage we've heard read this morning is a turning point in the history of the early church, whereas up to this time, the whole push had been to preach to Jews. From this point, the gospel becomes available to everyone. So can I go back to my Nigerian young man? Because there may not seem to be much of a link with what I've said and what I said about him. But can I just say that if I'd been him, when I was his age, I wouldn't have attempted half of what he did. In fact, I probably wouldn't have attempted any of it. Because what part of the clip shows him hopping towards a car and leaping over the top of it and landing at the other side? If you just Google jumping over a car with one leg, it comes up and you'll be able to find it's worth watching. I would have been trapped in my boundaries. I would have wanted to remain in my comfort zone. I would have wanted to accept my limitations. But he didn't. He didn't do any of those things. And I leave you to decide what your reaction would have been if you'd been like him. Peter was aware of his boundaries and his limitations. Perhaps we might not call all that he was already doing a comfort zone exactly, but technically that's what it was. He was then presented by his vision with a new boundary, a boundary of eating unclean animals, so far as he was concerned, and of going into the house of a Gentile, and not just any Gentile, but a commander of soldiers in the occupying army of his country. It's not a sort of welcoming visit. And Peter shows his understanding of the move in believers in the early church when he says in chapter 10, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. And that was an amazing step forward. And I can imagine in Peter's mind there would have been thoughts like, I can just imagine what they're going to say in Jerusalem when I get back to them. But he listened to God and he learned from the vision he'd received. He really was prepared to come out of his comfort zone and push the boundaries further back, not to be limited by them. He realized that what the early church was doing was limiting God to fit in with their ideas and their beliefs, which had mainly come from the traditions they'd been taught as they'd grown up. There's no wonder that as the early church really did develop and learn to follow the promptings of God, through the Holy Spirit, that they were accused of turning the world upside down. A few of you may well have heard this story before, but not all of you. We have a friend who 50 years ago moved to Kenya, and he found himself helping a small group of boys. And that group began to grow, and then he got married, and then they started to have boys and girls, seeing as he had a wife. Until now, he has a children's home and is looking after 140 children with help. He never tells anybody what their financial situation is and what their needs are. But they do tell God. And God listens. And God answers. On one occasion, they were very short of food and they'd no money. There was nothing in the larder. They'd had enough for breakfast. They sat down for lunch. No money, no food. And they said grace. As they said amen, a fleet of cars pulled up outside. There were Rolls Royces and Bentleys. There was supposedly a Sikh banquet being held in the town where they were that day, and it had been cancelled at the last minute, and so there was nobody to eat the food. So the food was taken to his children's home, and they were presented with this banquet at the lunchtime on the day when there was nothing. It actually fed them for rather more than one meal, which is perhaps not surprising. And John, not this John, that John, could tell you a lot more stories as well. In our church in Whitby, we had an old lady who had got to the stage that she couldn't get out from her home without a lot of help. And instead of moaning and grumbling and saying, I can't do things now, she said that her calling had now changed and she could spend her time in prayer for all the people in church, as well as many others as well. In both these cases, the limitations and boundaries of the situations could have led to not much happening. But because they were prepared to push the limits, because they believed in a God who was alive and had been resurrected from the dead, because they believed that that God is active in the world now, they didn't put limits on God, and things happened. My challenge to you this morning is not to go out and try to jump over a car using one or even two legs. Not to persuade you that you need to go out to another country and trust in God for your needs, although far be it from me to dissuade you if God is calling you to do that. It's not to suggest that you shut yourself in your home and stop going out so that you can pray. My challenges to you this morning are to make sure that you are not limiting what God can use for you. Sorry, what God can use you for. Not to see boundaries as a means of keeping you in your comfort zone. Not to look back on your life and say that the way you've done everything is the best way and cannot be changed or doesn't need to be changed. What Peter did was to listen to God carefully and then to trust him to lead him in the right way. And Peter did not allow himself to be bound by his traditions and the way he always did things. He opted not to limit God to dealing with just Jews or to standing in God's way, but to fulfill what God had said to Abraham in Genesis and use the Jews to bless all nations. He definitely stepped out of his comfort zone. So let's all try to listen to what God is saying. To be prepared to trust him to lead us. To be willing to step out of our comfort zone. To transcend boundaries and limitations for ourselves and for God. While submitting to the word of God. And not to trap God with limitations which he doesn't have. Or to stand in his way. As the band come up to continue to lead us in worship, let us pray. Heavenly Father, for those times when we've decided that we know best. For those times when we know what all the rules are, that where the boundaries are, that what the limitations are, that our comfort zone is the right place to be. For all those times, Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. And we ask for the prompting of your Holy Spirit to lead us in your way. Lord, we don't want to stand in your way. That's not our intention. It never has been. But may we recognize what your way is and be prepared to follow it, knowing that as our risen Savior, you will be with us. You will never forget us. You will never let us go on our own. And that your Holy Spirit will give us all that we need in order to do those things that you want us to be doing. And so we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.